Welcome to the Purpose Podcast. My name is Rachel. I'm here with my husband, Zach, and we are so excited to encourage you today in your purpose. We believe that God has created you for such a time as this to win your world, even in the holiday season.
It's December.
Christmas time.
What has happened to the year?
I love Christmas.
Oh my goodness. So I cannot believe it. I can't. Okay. Top three Christmas carols and go. I like to spring these things on Rachel. So
the first Noel.
Okay.
I love the first Noel.
Okay, I know that one.
That's hard. What's the one that talks about Israel? Emmanuel.
Emmanuel.
O come, Emmanuel.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
I love those too. It's not a Christmas carol, but I like the Michael W. Smith Emmanuel song.
Oh my gosh.
Emmanuel. That's awesome. I think every year we talk about this, but it's my favorite.
Michael W. Smith.
And I love this whole album of Stephen Curtis Chapman, the 90s Christmas album he did, not the new one. I mean, the new one's fine, but that old one where his hair's long.
We have to listen to that every time, like when we're decorating trees. It's from her childhood, and we all are subject to it.
Stephen Curtis Chapman is awesome.
Gosh,
I don't care who you are. He's good.
I love Christmas time so much.
It's so great.
It's so awesome.
Everyone wants to be in a good mood.
Yes. Yeah. It really is. I love even talking about it. So Christmas, it's here. It's going to be amazing. I think what you just said is a great kind of thing about what we're going to talk about today. Everybody wants to be in a good mood. There's this kind of sense of, you know, goodwill towards men, like this love and desire, all this kind of stuff. And there's this real desire for generosity is what we're going to talk about today.
Well, we want to receive generosity. There's this expectation. I think everyone carries that at Christmas time because you're disappointed when people aren't generous towards you. I don't know if you've ever felt that way at Christmas underneath the tree and you're like, you could have done a better job.
Are you... What do you say?
I'm not being passive aggressive.
This feels like it's some forecasting right now.
I'm just saying. Am I getting the 12 days of Christmas this year?
Okay. You know what? I don't think this is the public forum for everybody. Okay.
But for real, you do expect people to be generous and not like give you leftovers or some halfway thought through thing. You want people to actually work to give you something that cost them, and not just like financially, but cost them time and effort and energy, because the feeling of generosity is so much more than financial. Generosity is a deeper issue.
Yeah, I think a great, I want us to really dive in and talk about generosity just at a kind of a deeper level today. I feel like whenever you understand something, more than just intellectually, but like spiritually and emotionally, you can just operate out of it so much more freely. And so, again, when you think about generosity, everybody has something that comes to mind. Most people think about finances because, you know, we want to be able to buy more gifts. We want to be able to give away more stuff. Like we have that thought, but generosity is so much more. I love the heart of generosity for me whenever I think about it. Jesus tells this parable where he says, you know, a slave owned or owed the king. King comes and calls him to account. He can't pay it. And so he's like, all right, throw him in jail, you know, because in that time they'd sell your family, your house, everything to try to pay the debt. And the servant's like, please, no, like I'll do my best, whatever. And instead of saying, okay, go and work it off, here's the payment plan or whatever, the king says, hey, you know what? It's forgiven. Go on. And then that guy goes out and chokes a servant who owes him like pennies in comparison. But as they're talking, Jesus talks about that, tells a couple more parables. But then at one point, Jesus asks somebody who, between like a Pharisee and a sinner, like all this kind of stuff. And Jesus essentially asks his followers, you know, hey, who's going to love more? And it's the one who's been forgiven more, the one who And the reason I bring that up
is Matthew 18, you can find that story.
The reason I bring that up is the thought of, like, our generosity doesn't come from the amount of money we have or the amount of time we have or the amount of ideas we have, but it comes from the amount that we've been forgiven, from the amount that we've been loved, from the amount that we've been cared for, the time given to us by Jesus. And so whenever you look at that as the standard, we all have the margin for generosity.
Yeah, generosity is, and if you look this up, like in the dictionary, it will say freely and frequently giving to others. So true generosity at its core is a pro-social behavior. So it's this, it's a behavior that is directed outside of you. It's not about you, but it's for others. And it's a virtue that goes beyond, like you said, material gifts. It's more than money and clothing and food. It involves giving your time and your energy and your talents and your resources selflessly for the benefit of someone else.
Yeah, which is, I mean, it's so biblical. It's so Christ-like. To be generous, to be others focused. Again, what's the most important commandment? Love the Lord God with your heart, soul, mind, strength, and body. And the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And I love that. Bam, bam. Hey, one of the best ways you can love God and show that you're doing that is by how you love people. But I'd love you to mention this because we talked a little bit about it. You know, science bears out that generosity resonates with us, like on a spiritual level. The reason that we'll bring up science or data or whatever is because the Bible has said these things to be true. Now, our culture doesn't revere or honor the Bible as truth like it has previously, but science corroborates how God designed us. So how does science also show that generosity is good for us?
Well, it shows that mentally, physically, and financially, actually, generosity enriches your life. So giving activates reward centers in your brain. So those feel-good chemicals like dopamine, endorphins, they're called, researchers call it a helper's high. So when you are giving, even if you simply think about giving a donation, which I think we'll talk about that in a little bit, but even if you think about giving something, it activates your brain's happiness center so that when you feel good serving someone else or doing something else, that's why, because your brain is wired to reward you when you act like Jesus.
Yeah, our bodies serve the promises of Jesus.
Oh, yeah, because it doesn't just change, like your blood pressure lowers, it reduces your anxiety, it boosts your self-esteem, it lowers your risk for depression. You are literally happier and you live longer if you are generous.
Yeah, so when he says it's better to give than to receive, that's not just some like Sunday school religious, you know, like Jesus, that's a promise. And Jesus' promises impact our lives, the plan he has for our lives. And so I just think it's so big to know and to realize and to receive that a life of generosity. And again, a life of generosity, not a moment of generosity, but a life of generosity is how we were designed. And if we don't live that way, then we will start to get just, when we get so internal and so self-focused, which as a culture, as we've gotten more that way, we were talking to you before we started, we're less healthy emotionally, spiritually, relationally, and physically. And as we've gotten more, I'm going to get mine, as we've gotten more selfish and less generous, we're seeing it have a systemic impact. Obviously, the biggest impact is on our purpose and winning the world and personal evangelism on the decline. But we also see it on the intangibles. They really do matter. They don't matter as much as the gospel, but they do matter. And we see them going down as we're less generous.
Well, and I love, you know, you talked about the promises of Scripture being born out in the natural. Like you can see data proves our bodies, our minds, we are literally designed to function like the Bible has instructed us, which is why it's important that you know what the Bible says so that you can literally experience how God designed you. But Luke 6:38 says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. And I think this is interesting. The economist and professor Arthur Brooks began researching the claim that giving money away makes you wealthier. And he started researching it to prove that it wasn't true. However, his research found that giving yielded a 300% return for every dollar donated. So for every dollar donated, he received $3 in return. Philanthropy literally pays off, literally. So when God says, give freely of the resources you've been given, give freely of your time, give freely of your talents, give freely of what of your testimony, it's not just because he wants other people to experience, he does, but he when he says, I'm going to give it back to you, I'm going to take care of you, you don't have to worry. Literally, people are trying to disprove what God has said. And what we've learned is, oh, once again, God's word is true and we can trust it.
Yeah. And if I could ask people to apply that verse in even a little bit different way, to think about like where are you investing? So there's some invest. If you go back, and we should have pulled this stuff, if you invested like $100 like in Tesla when they started, like what it's worth now is credit. Like
they've done that with Apple too.
You look
it's
back
incredible.
On some of the stuff, it's unbelievable. Like it, but whenever we, if we would follow that verse you just said in Luke chapter 6, it will be given to you a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It will be poured on your in your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And if what we're doing, if we would actually live this out, which there's places that I should live it out more, you should live it out more, we should live it out more, but we would be trusting the Lord for the what do you call it? The return on investment, right? We would be trusting Him for that. But and it's not, again, it's not, we're going to talk specifically about finances here in just a second, but it's with your relationships. It's with even with the things that we deem as sometimes negative. So here's a great example in the economy of Jesus. The measure that we forgive will also be the measure that we are forgiven.
And no one likes that.
I think it's one of the most ignored tenets of the New Testament. You look in Matthew chapter 6, whenever he teaches how to pray, he talks about forgive our transgressors as we have forgiven. And then after that, I think it's in verse, like, it's somewhere between 11 and 15, he follows it up with forgiveness again. And so, like, the thought that our lives, that's why we didn't want to start with money. We want to start with a mindset of generosity.
Because this is deeper than finances. We want to touch on those, but we're going to talk about all the areas of your life.
I know, like, I understand what I'm about to say. It sounds hard. Who cares about money? We're looking at one of our good friends made so much money. They make so much money. Like, so much money. He's not a billionaire, but so much money. He's sick. He has cancer. And you watch his health deteriorate. And I used to look at him and think, I wonder what it's like to have the kind of money and freedom this guy has. And now I look at him, and you can see as he's losing his physical health and some of the stuff that, who cares? Who cares? Like his kids and his kingdom impact, and
his heart and mind is not, which he's never behaved that way, but it's super interesting. He is not in the season pursuing additional income. In the season, he says, oh, I want to experience as much of God as I can, and I want to testify of the goodness of God as much as I can before I run out of time. So we have equated generosity. We've equated generosity with finances. So I've got to go get more money so that I can get, and what allows for us to be generous and a cheerful giver is to spend time with the one who came up with and who is holy and generous.
Yeah.
And so the more time, like as we watch friends who have been given much to steward, they steward it well because of how much time they've spent in the presence of God.
Yeah.
And how they treat money, how they think about money, how they think about their time, how they think about their talents is so different because they learned two things. One, like, oh, turns out God really does have everything and can give you as much as he wants. But two, hey, there's something I only get this much of on this side of heaven. And so I'll only get to testify of God's goodness to the degree that I have time here.
Yeah, and you know, it's an interesting thought in Romans 8 when it talks about like the Holy Spirit cries out in us, Abba, Father, and we're co-heirs with Christ. Just a challenge for us out there. How silly if you saw, let's just say, Bill Gates or Elon Musk, like if you saw their kids and their kids, let's just say you saw their kids being super stingy. Like if you sat down to a meal with their kids and like, hey, everybody's going to pay separately, or you saw them like not tipping or something like that, you'd be like, what in the world are you doing? You have all the means in the world. Mm-hmm. That scripture says that we are heirs, co-heirs with Christ. So like, we are princes and princesses. We are sons and daughters, ambassadors of the Most High. And I wonder, do we live lives that are representative of the kingdom that we represent? Or do we live like slaves and paupers of this world? Or do, like, you know what? It doesn't matter if people forgive me or don't. It doesn't matter if people obey me or don't. Like, because what I'm doing here is all for where I rule and reign. Like, mm-hmm. I am a co-heir with Christ. Mm-hmm. And so we don't have to get into that. I'm just trying to continue to dig at our understanding. Because I think what we do, me and myself included, is we have let ourselves be more conformed to the power of this world than we realize. So when it comes to generosity is not like, I think like the very, very end outflow is financial, and money can absolutely just pillage your freedom if you serve it. Like Jesus is very clear, he talks about money more than almost anything else, but generosity it's a mindset, it's a heart set that comes from your identity as a son or a daughter. We actually were talking before we started like that. There were some parts where my mom had a little bit of a poverty mindset because of how she grew up. And so I think we all have to evaluate, hey, how are we living a generous life with our relationships, our time, our finances, like, and all our emotions, all that.
Well, and so here would be a good question to just something to process is, hey, when you even heard us bring up the topic, maybe you're not even listening anymore, you started to feel a tension, and you're like, oh, well, when you talk about my things, my time, my resources, my kids, my house, my money, and you start to feel defensive, then that should be a check. Hey, something's not right. When we start to see what the Bible says about the things that we've been given to steward, which nothing, every good and perfect thing comes from above, but I would argue perhaps you have a spirit of poverty, which is that idea that there's not enough. Mm-hmm. So if I don't keep mine and take care of mine and get what's mine, there's not going to be enough. But Paul's really clear, and we see it in Proverbs, again in Luke, hey, if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. This truth is stated by Solomon in Proverbs, where he says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit of your crops, then your barns will be filled to overflowing. And Christ himself says, just like we talked about in the beginning in Luke 6, give. God will come to those who are generous. And that's in Psalms 112. And if you say, well, gosh, that starts to cause some tension in me, I'm going to sow my time generously into my children, into my neighborhood. What about time? What about self-care? What about me making sure I'm taken care of? And God's really clear in the promise of Psalms 112:5. He will come to him who is generous. Yep. And he's already told you everything that you give, he's going to return to you. So he's shaking, overflowing, I don't know that I could ever outgive God, who set a new standard for generosity. Jesus in Luke, in John 3:16, he set the new standard for generous. God gave his one and only son, the only thing that God only had one of, and he freely gave his son that we would be in relationship with him. So what is it that you're afraid to freely give? Because if you didn't, you wouldn't be cared for.
Yeah. So let's do bounce over to probably the place where this is the most felt, even though we tried to make sure we got to the heart of it first, but is in our finances. It is money.
And at Christmas time, finances are, they really are hard. It's the end of the year. Hopefully you made a decision to make wise choices at the beginning of the year, right throughout the year, and you saved up. But that's oftentimes, especially this has been a difficult year when you look at the rate of inflation that we've, especially since 2020, everybody's feeling a little bit of tension financially. Mm-hmm. And you say, okay, I'm swiping my credit card now to get presents for people. Now I feel like I'm in an even more difficult place financially. Christmas can stir up insecurity around finances, shame around finances. And so before we have the conversation, we just want to remind you that you serve a God who redeems and restores all things, that you are smart, you are capable to be equipped to learn how to manage and steward all the resources, including your time, well, so that you can do everything that God has set in front of you to do.
Yeah, so Jesus knew that finances would be a challenge. And, you know, so there's some people that say Jesus talked more about money than anything else. Jesus did talk about money quite a bit. 11 of his 39 parables, which is about 15%, you know, he did talk about money, and which this is a stat that I think is weird, hard to swallow, that Jesus talked about money about twice as much, or there's about twice as many verses about money, wealth, and possessions as there are of faith and prayer. So he talked about money twice as much as he talked about faith and prayer. Why is that? I think that people...
Because we love our money so much.
People don't really fight faith and prayer, but boy, do we fight about money. We don't have all the time. We want to honor your time. Tithing is... and so let me just go ahead and tell you, there's a difference between generosity and tithing. And I haven't done a great job of leading Faith Promise in this. We've muddied those up. We're gonna do a better job. There's generosity, which is where you give over and above, and you have a generous. Tithing is a command. Tithe means 10%. There is Old Testament biblical precedent for it. But we see Jesus carry over the priority of what happens with our money. Mm-hmm. Rachel pointed out just some of the scripture. We won't go through all of them. Some of the scripture, Old Testament. But we see Jesus carry over a priority of money. But some of the things I'll tell you about tithing, you know, again, old, when Jesus came to fulfill the law, but he did not come to abolish, to tear down, to separate, or because Jesus followed the law, mm-hmm. you know. Now, there were some parts that we had messed up that he pushed against, like the fact that they worshiped the Sabbath. That was one of the biggest rubs, was it seemed like Jesus was breaking these rules about the Sabbath. And Jesus said, hey, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And so when we started worshiping these rules, and so now if there's people that are willing to, they're willing to beat people up over the tithe and things like that, you may be getting into a religious spirit. But people who say, hey, the tithe is strictly Old Testament, first of all, I don't agree with that. I don't think Jesus ever says that, corroborates that. Paul also, a great example, when Paul says, hey, every week set apart some of your money for giving, he didn't have to say, hey, set apart 10%, because those people would have understood the biblical precedent.
Yeah, he says in keeping with income. That's 1 Corinthians 16, too.
So he's talking about, hey, this is what we've always known. Let's keep on doing that. Again, by and large, Paul took care of the poor. Churches should take care of the poor. They should do that stuff. But it was predominantly for the multiplication of the church. Because if the church multiplies, the gospel spreads, believers take care of the lost and the orphans and the widows and things like that. There's biblical precedent. And here's what I tell you, and I'm not going to use any names or anything like that, because there are people who attack us over this kind of stuff. Here's what I tell you, is if you really do want to press about the tithe being New Testament, I'd love to avert your eyes or divert your whatever. I'd love to bring your eyes to Acts chapter 5, if I'm not mistaken, with Ananias and Sapphira, where it wasn't the tithe. People are selling their property and their whole homes and things like that. So I would say the tithe is bare stinking minimum.
It is the standard that we see biblically given. And God says, again, Jesus set a new standard for giving when he came and gave his life.
He gave his life, and then the early church, how they, yeah.
They more, and I would say, and I see this pretty, as you see people who learn to follow Jesus, we say, hey, this is where we start. We start with working God. We don't work God into our finances. We build our entire life around the Lord.
Can I give an analogy for that?
Yeah.
So like if you have, let's just say you budgeted your money where you've got like your house stuff, your all these kind of things, and you have that. Let's say that you and I, we have a part of our budget that's for date night, and we pay our bills, draw that kind of stuff. We have it all parceled out. If I'm willing to dig into date night funds to pay for golf, how does that make you feel?
Not very happy.
Not very happy. When Jesus says you begin with the tithe, he is saying this budget is to, first of all, the beginning, it's the first fruits, it's the first amount. It is to let your money, your family, and the world know that I come first. And let's not get so selfish passionate. I love it. Part of the reason I'm so passionate about it is because so many people are held captive by the spirit of mammon, mm-hmm. and greed and all that kind of
and
stuff.
And this time of year, it becomes really apparent because we're willing to go.
Yeah, you're willing to dig into it.
Not just the thing that we've set aside for God, but into things God did not give us. So when we start swiping our credit card, God didn't resource us. You know, there's something, JL and I had a conversation. She wanted to, before we started school this year, she had mentioned going to a private school because one of her friends was going there. And I looked at the budget and the money just wasn't there. And I said, hey, you know what, Jay? If this is something you believe God's calling you to do, he will resource it. He will fund it anywhere you need to go. So I want you to pray. And I'm going to pray with you, and we're going to ask God to financially provide for that. But I don't believe that's where God's calling us. I'm going to pray with you. And if it is, God's going to provide for that. And that's not what God provided for us to do. So, hey, if God didn't give you an extra $3,000 this December to spend, and you haven't been wise throughout the year, hey, we need to practice some self-control, which is a spirit you've been given of love, power, and self-control is the spirit you've been given. Even in the holiday season, to honor the Lord first in our finances and in our time.
And it's hard to say, I'm not going to get my spouse or my kids something.
Okay, that is
a beast. If people are listening to this right now and they're like, okay, this year I wasn't wise, I don't have the means to tithe and to do that. Mm-hmm. But again, there's no emotion to this. Nothing's on the line. It's just believers talking real quick. If you say, I'm willing to dip into what is set aside for the tithe to get my kids toys, what are you teaching your kids? And you're like, well, my kids don't know that that's where it came from. There is a precedent that you are setting. Mm-hmm. Because whenever you told JL it wasn't in, when she asked, hey, I would like this, and you said, I'm so sorry, we're going to serve the Lord instead.
That's right, yeah. Like, and we're really open with our kids about
our
budget.
What a gift that you gave to JL. What a mm-hmm. gift we would give him to say, I'm not willing to shortchange the Lord to get you that toy. Now, you know what? I should have done better saving or whatever. Let's save in let's have Christmas mid-February, and let's save and let's get that.
Well, or let's be innovative and let's do the hard things that maybe we weren't willing to do, which is, hey, I'm going to go work retail every Saturday in at Target or Walmart or wherever. I'm going to work Friday nights and Saturdays so that we can have the Christmas we want to have and we don't have to dishonor the Lord.
Yeah. And we're not going to get into all of the possible solutions right now because there's so many.
But there are solutions, but we can't choose to say, well, the best solution is to take from the Lord. That is not an option.
And that's the mindset we're at. Today, generosity is all about, like, we're just getting at the mindset. Mm-hmm. We believe, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 10, 13 or so, the Lord won't give you more than you can handle. He won't bring you to something. He won't bring you through. Yeah. But if we can just have the mindset of the great work of our purpose to win the world, then we'll be able to do that. Hey, go ahead.
Well, how can I be cheerful then?
Oh, that's the, yeah. That's
how can I be cheerful right now? Like, how do I, it says that God bless, like God loves mm-hmm. a cheerful giver. And I would say I have sometimes given to the Lord and like being generous, like God said, hey, I want you to go give this to this woman or to do this. And there have been times where I did it and I was like, I did not want to do that, God.
Yeah.
And it steals from, like, I was obedient, but my heart was not in a place that honored God first. Like it was in a, it was a spirit of rebellion and I did it, but there was rebellion in my heart, not cheer.
Yeah.
So, how do I do that?
Yeah, I would, again, how we look at it is what are we comparing it to? And so I think, and I'm going to botch it. You have better memory than me, but I believe it's Romans 8:19, where Paul says that he doesn't consider the present sufferings worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in him. And so when we have any sort of dissatisfaction or in any sort of offense or any sort of frustration, there is a comparison somewhere. We just have to find it. And so, like, whenever we're generous and we're frustrated about it, so what's the comparison was to keep it. The mm-hmm. comparison was to have it. Paul's making a comparison, and let's just remember what the negative comparison. It wasn't just that he gave to the homeless person and wondered, are they going to buy booze with it? Like, that wasn't it. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was abandoned. He was lied about. He was all these things.
In prison.
Brutal. I mean, brutal. Stoned with rocks, so he was dead. God brought him back. Like, that's stuff we're talking about. Butt naked somewhere, like, left. You know, like, it's not like he's just, oh, man, I got a tummy ache today. Lord, have you forsaken me? But He even with all the stuff he went through, he said, when I compare it to the glory of Christ being revealed in me, there is no comparison. And so I say that, maybe it sounds like I don't have a hard time. I've got the hardest of times with it. But whenever it's a check for me. This is going to go back to something we talk about all the time, our quiet time, our prayer mm-hmm. life, our falling in love with Jesus. Anytime we're not generous, we're valuing something more than we value Jesus, honoring him, and our purpose of winning the world.
Well, and practicing those daily habits, one of the daily habits that we talk about mm-hmm. is gratitude.
So is that the hardest one for you?
You know, yeah.
It's the hardest one, which that says something.
It's, well, because we're so selfish and we deserve
it. And we're so blessed. You are so blessed.
Listen.
You specifically.
I would say, no, but if you think for a second, the more I practice gratitude, the more aware I am of all that God has done, all that he's given me. And it turns my awareness to how much I have to offer and how much I have to give. So if you're saying, hey, I have a hard time giving cheerfully, I would say, one, are you aware of all that you've been given? Are you practicing gratitude daily? Have you asked the Holy Spirit in your time with him, God, please help my heart, especially this time of year. There are people you don't want to be generous to, but Jesus says even to our enemies, mm-hmm. we should love them and be generous toward them. So do you really dislike your boss? Maybe you need to go out of your way, even if it's just to write a really kind card and a word of encouragement for Christmas That is important.
Huge.
It's not just about money. It's about the posture of our heart. And so we still, even at Christmas time, we give a night of our week away. We still meet with people outside of what, you know, your job is, like Sunday morning. Hey, yeah, I give Sunday morning, but you still meet with men on Saturday mornings. You still teach a small group on Wednesday night. Like, you still give time to your children, even though we had a Christmas party to go to. And sometimes we deny ourselves some of the things we're invited to because we can't be generous with what God, and in the areas that God's asked us to be, we deny ourselves somewhere else so that we could pick up our cross faithfully.
That's right. And hey, this is a short season of sowing we have while we're here on this earth. So let's be generous. Let's win our world. I know today there were probably some funny parts and there were some hard parts and some challenging parts, but we just want to be more like Jesus and we want to win our world and we want to honor him and his church and the mission of winning the world. And so we believe in you. We love you so much. It's an honor that you've allowed us just a small part of being a part of your purpose. So we love you. Let's go win the world. We'll see you in a little bit.